Like a good game for Switch with this portability as well too.
Portability, I would advertise. Graphics, I would not. As far as Switch.
Ah, okay.
It looks like spaghetti.
Recorded on Zoom, it's the Diamond of Truth podcast.
What's going on, guys?
What it do?
You.
Oh.
The Diamond of Truth podcast is here. We're back with another installment here to give you your gaming news and stuff that's going on here. I'm excited because we got one of my main mans here, Reggie Williams, all the way from New York, zooming in of the show today. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, everybody? How's it going?
It's good to see this guy here. Yeah, Reggie is a awesome musician, awesome sax player, guitar player, vocalist, skateboarder, gamer. This man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's multi-talented.
Jack of all trades.
When I met him, it was funny. When I met Reggie, it's actually before he was even a student, man. I remember being in theory class. This is a funny story, man. I remember being in theory class. And you remember how the theory room was like right behind the practice rooms? And we were in theory class. This is a true story. We were in theory class and our teacher was teaching. All we heard was this killer sax playing, just playing. It's going. We all just stopped. Everybody got up out of class and went out outside to see who was playing. You were like, yo, who was this guy? It had to be Reggie, man. Reggie in there playing, just killing on sax. That's before you were even a student there. You were just visiting, right?
I assume so. I can't even remember.
I remember you came and played for graduation or a promotion or something.
Yeah, I did. My brother invited me to play for, and yeah, I got recruited to play for a graduation, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For the university.
Yeah, well, I mean, we say university, but, UMS is not the highest of but to see him come on stage, and that happens at UMS, you'll get recruited and voluntold to do things that you didn't even want to do. We could talk for days about that, but that's not why he's here, but that's a different podcast. But well, man, it's good seeing you, man. So how's everything been going out there in New York, man? How are you staying safe?
Yeah, staying safe, staying sane, washing my hands. Any time of day, yeah, as much as I can. Keep my sanitizer on my little strap.
Yeah. That's what's up, man. That's what's up. And I know when you were down here, we're in school together, I just picked up how much of a gamer you were. I didn't realize how much you played and certain different things you played, because you would play stuff I had never heard of, and I love talking to different gamers and seeing what they're playing. So what have you been playing currently, or what's your go-to game right now?
I mean, I have a handful, I guess, but mostly I play, my most time-consuming game is Ark right now, Ark Survival Evolved.
All right, so what's that about?
The premise, I would say, is Jurassic Park mixed with space and tech elements, but basically, yeah, Jurassic Park.
Okay. So you're like are you managing like an actual like dinosaur park area? Like you're
No. It's you okay, it's kind of like this weird world. You are just pretty much burst into it. You just spat into the world, and it's like triceratopses, yeah, and brontosaurus and T-Rexes, and you just pretty much, and it's mixed with a lot of survival elements. You just gotta basically figure out how you're going to live to the next like 20 minutes. Pretty cool. I mean, you manage your food, you manage your you make tools out of stone and hide and thatch and things like that.
So you're really just trying to survive the next day.
I mean, at first, yeah, and then you it's a lot of levels to it. Eventually you're like riding like a hovercraft, and you're like picking dinosaurs up, and yeah, it gets pretty in depth. But to me, I love it because I mean, just mixed with like the time that we're in, I can just kind of like delve into it and just live there for a little while.
Okay, that's cool. So it's a game that you can just probably spend hours in playing, and one of those games that it doesn't, you don't really beat. Like, is there an end game, or is it just something that you just, you know, progress?
There are bosses that you can beat. I mean, and levels of accomplishment, but really, it's like a PvP game on top of survival. So it's like it never ends. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. So what system are you playing that on?
Xbox. All right.
Okay. And I know it's I think it's on multiple systems as well, too.
Multiplied, yeah. Even on Switch.
That's what's up. Seems like a good game for Switch with this portability as well, too.
Portability, I would advertise. Graphics, I would not, as far as Switch.
Ah, okay.
it looks like spaghetti.
Oh, man. Well, I know you were also a... when we were in school together, we were also a Pokemon fan. So, are you up to date with Pokemon? How did you stay current with what's going on with Sword and Shield?
I'm actually like a fanboy by default. Like, I just get all of them. I don't care if the ratings are bad, if the reviews are terrible. I'm gonna play it from beginning to end, regardless. Yeah, I have to.
So, right.
Yeah, I have the latest one. Yeah. I explored the Galar region, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's kind of me too. Like, I'm a fan too. I played them. I played most of them. I think it's one I can't forget which one I didn't play, but yeah, it's like one of those things. As kids, you know, you start as a fan, and when they come out, it's like that kid mentality comes back. I must get the next one. So you
and
play.
I like it. Even with that, like it's levels on top of it. You start with your little Charmander and Embers and things like that, and you grow to your searching for 3 hours for a Ditto.
Remember those days trying to find a Ditto just so you can, you know, breed a Pokemon? Like, I haven't spent hours finding a looking for a Ditto.
Just circle it, a patch of grass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's so easy now, though.
Yeah, now it's so easy.
You can find perfect ones easily. Like, 5 out of 5 perfect IVs.
Mm-hmm. Just glitch the game and change the date.
Kids in the past will never know how hard it was to find a Ditto.
Wait, the nostalgia of a
link table.
Man.
They don't even understand the animation, but yeah, it's a
they
lot.
Don't.
Yeah.
They don't. They remake the games. Like, they'll remade. I know they remade Red and Blue so many times, and they've made it available on virtual consoles. But it's something about playing that game on a Game Boy Pocket and and using a link cable to play with the person next to you and getting your Machoke to evolve to a Machamp that way.
Oh, man, looking at him in the eye, like, send it back.
Exactly. Hoping that they respect you enough to send that Machamp back.
It's mine now.
Oh, man. So, in your gaming career, if you can think of one, what is a memorable gaming accomplishment you have, or something that you, when you beat something, you were just excited because you didn't think you could do it, or it took for a while to complete this? What's a memorable video game moment you have?
I would say, actually, maybe about a year and a half ago, I went on an adventure. My brother bought me my favorite PlayStation game, Digimon World 1. So I went on the adventure of finding an original PlayStation that worked with an original controller and memory card, and I was able to get all the parts and beat the game. And to me, it wasn't necessarily the fact that it was difficult, but just the fact that, like, it just came full circle. Like, everything that I did and experienced as a kid with, like, Game Informers and and AOL Internet, and I mean, just kind of being able to, like, yeah, to recreate that experience and kind of, like, do better than I did at that point. It was pretty cool to me.
Well, that's got to be cool, man, to have that with your brother and to find a PlayStation like that. I mean, if you don't mind me asking, where did you find an original PlayStation at?
Actually, it took some trial. I went to two different GameStops. Neither of them worked, so I had to return both of them individually. There's a specialty game store out here in New York. I forgot what it's called. It's it's like Asian inspired. I think they have like a lot of Asian graphics and stuff on it. I couldn't understand the writing. But it's pretty much just a specialty game store. They had everything you could want. Like, and I just didn't have enough money to pretty much get everything that I wanted. I mean, even the PlayStation itself, they tested it there at the store. They gave me like an old school controller, like the controllers from back then, but just not even restored. It just seemed like it was just in really good shape.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. And I know there's a mall, Marley Station has a store like that where you can just buy old school stuff that retro gaming things and stuff that you wouldn't probably find in GameStop. If you did, it wouldn't be as good quality. So there's that story is really influential and real inspiring to your memorable moment. So that's cool. And we're going to get to your brother in a moment because I got a question about your brother too. Isn't his birthday today too? I think about it.
2 days ago.
2 days ago? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was on the 14th. Yeah, yesterday, actually, yeah.
I got a question I want to ask about you with that in the moment, but I want to get to your music, what you've been doing. As I said before, Reggie's an awesome tenor sax player, awesome musician. He came down a few months recently and played actually the last gig I've done. You know, I haven't had a gig since March, man. So he came down.
Glad I could take part.
Man, that was a fun concert, man. We used to talk about that. And so how have you been playing out in New York? You been, be able to do anything musically out there?
Not to the level, no, that I was before. Everything is like completely slowed. And it's like a lot of uncertainty. Like there are a lot of like fines for having crowds and things like that. So it's like outside isn't as viable as an option as I thought it would be. So outside is kind of poop and inside is kind of poop. So it's rough. I'm just playing my apartment for my neighbors pretty much. I'm sure that they something great, I think.
Hey, you man, know? At this point you take a live concert anywhere, so you know.
Yeah,
man, that's cool.
It helps me. I mean keeping like somewhat regular of a practice routine and even kind of like playing different instruments, it kind of helps me to regulate the time sometimes. Like it's kind of easy to lose track of time and kind of get sidetracked with different things, but it kind of keeps it fresh. Like I'll just play electric drum pad one day or horrible trumpet another day.
That's the great thing about this, using this time to learn something new or expand your craft. Cause I pulled out a trumpet. I've taught a clarinet lesson over Zoom before, and it forced me to learn how to get better above the break, so it's good to see that you're still keeping music in your life and doing things to better yourself musically. But that's cool, man. So back to your brother Delonte, man. Did you and him play games together?
Yeah, actually, every Pokemon game he would get red, I would get blue. He would get gold, I would get silver. He was terrible, but he kept buying them.
That's what I want to ask you. So is there a funny story there between you and Delonte and Gaines? I know there has to be some story between you and him. Because let me just say, break this down to the audience. Reggie and Delonte could not look different when you see them together. Like they are probably the funniest brother duo I have seen in my life. You know, Delonte, Reggie's my man. He's probably a little taller than me. Then Delonte's like 6'3", 6'2" maybe, he's tall, real tall, like Reggie and Delonte, cool. Man, it works cool because you guys are so fun together. So I know there has to be a cool story between you two in games together.
Actually, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. One story pops in my head. It was Christmas and we wanted, I forgot what we wanted. We were bothering my mother about a game system. So we opened all our presents and we didn't get the game system. We were both kind of bummed about it. And it was a box, and it wasn't even wrapped. It was just like a box, and it had like oranges on the side or something. And me and my brother just kind of left it. We left it for maybe about a day or so. It's like, yeah, maybe my grandmother got us some fruit or something. She's concerned about our health. I think it was him that opened it, maybe like the next day or so. He opened it, and it was a Dreamcast. My mother just literally knew it was a Dreamcast and let us like leave it because we thought it was fruit. And I mean, it was probably one of the greatest days of my life, I would say, as far as video gaming, because that's my favorite system, and we played that system until it blew up pretty much. And they stopped selling games for it.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, Dreamcast is definitely a memorable system. And but it's nothing like seeing the lights, the joys of a open fresh box of a in a video game system right there in front of you. Well, they are,
except with our... for there's a box of oranges.
Oh man. Well, hey man, thanks for coming on with us, man. We appreciate you, man. And you know, stay safe out in New York, and we'll definitely have you back on, man.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Well,
all right, when we come back, we're going to get into some news, especially with some Fortnite.
We'll be right back on the Diamond of Truth podcast.
All right, I want to thank Reggie Williams for coming in last segment with us. Good friend of mine, real wholesome dude. So this was a real exciting week for us in DOT. You know, the new things coming at the doorsteps of homes, and our favorite break dancer Isaiah got a gift outside his doorstep a few days ago. So what happened, Isaiah? What gift did you get?
I certainly did. Well, I thought I was going to be receiving some forms to sign. But it turns out I got a Nintendo Switch Lite from my very best friend's DOT crew. Oh. The nice turquoise teal color. Actually, I really dig this color. Yeah. So, man, I appreciate you guys. Like, this was definitely a surprise, like none other.
Oh, I know.
No idea. This is coming.
No more secondhand.
Yeah, no more secondhand.
You guys listen to my woes and complaints, and you listen to my prayers, and dang, you guys made it happen. Like, I really appreciate this, guys. Like, you have no idea how much this means to me. Like, you know, hearing a Reggie story about getting his Dreamcast. I just experienced that a few days ago, so definitely know how he's feeling. And oh, yeah. Man, like, yeah, I don't think I've ever, like, had a new console before.
Wow.
Yeah, like, I never went out and bought or even, like, gifted, like, a console. Like you guys said, it was always the hand-me-down. So, dang, like, it's truly an honor to receive this gift and, like, and especially by you guys, like, for sure, like, this is, this really means a lot. Like, definitely, my eyes were, like, this big. My eyeballs were about to pop out.
Fall
to the floor. But, yeah, like I said, like, it was definitely a surprise. I was talking to Ken, like, a few weeks ago, and, you know, he was talking about, you know, doing some sort of background thing, and, you know, he put me down as a reference, and, you know, he's like, hey, I have some forms for you to sign. It should be coming in a few days. I'm like, oh, okay, like, yeah, for sure, I got you, for sure. And then, you know, he texts me, was it 2 days ago? And he's like, hey, like, I think the forms came, right? And I was like, oh, like, you know, wife just left. She has the mail key. I thought it was just, like, you know, in an envelope or something. And I was like, oh, yo, okay, yeah, like, I'll check the mail tomorrow.
And he's like, oh, bro. I was like, nah, bro.
It's in front of your door. I'm like, what, really? For some papers? I'm like, okay. So I was like, I opened the door, and there's, like, this little box. And I'm like, wait a minute. What is this? Has my name on it, address. And yeah, I'm like, oh, I don't know. What is this? It's like, oh, like, I don't know. Maybe it's a, what did you say it was? He was like, well, I don't know. Maybe it's a hard drive.
Way to go,
like,
Kenny.
What?
Good job, man. Keeping the lie alive.
So I open it. And I see this, and I'm like, yo. At first, I had to figure out, like, what it was. It said Nintendo Switch Lite.
Oh.
I didn't know what it was. I was like, what?
a light that you can use in your room while you're the light of the room.
Switch light and light.
Switch and light.
No, but yeah, you know, this is definitely, truly one of the, it's the greatest gift of all time.
And no, man, it's great, because the funny thing about that is that we had this plan for a while, man. Like
a
long time ago. We were going to do this before you even moved. Like, it was going to be like a gift for you, for like your like a wedding gift. And then, well, maybe we did do it before you're going to move too, but we knew we wanted to give it to you before you actually left. That was the original plan. And we didn't get a chance to do so. So, you know, with some games coming out that we can play together, we'd like, you know, let's do it now, you know, and especially, and then when we came back in stock, like, you know, we got to do this right now. So it definitely means a lot to us. You know, you mean a lot to us too, even though you're gone, but hey.
Oh yeah. You guys are my blood brothers. Like, really, like.
You're bringing hurricanes over though, man.
Yeah, keep that rain over there, man.
I'll do my best.
Oh man.
Nah, but it's been great. Like, you know, I talked to Vic and, you know, he told me to get a Monster Hunter. So I've been playing that for the past couple of days. Like Vic said, it's quite a steep learning curve, but you know, there are elements to it where I see, I'm like, okay, like I see like why this is very like addictive. So, so I'm just trying to like learn everything, get all the mechanics down.
Level 99. That's the training area.
I realize you yourself don't level up, but your equipment does, right? So that's a cool element, I think, that I dig.
You as a person level up, be like, all right, he's about to do this attack, time to dodge.
But I just found out, you know, like the smith, and then you can you know, you look at the different weapons available and you see like what items you need, you know, and right away, like, I was like, oh, like I have this item, so I can like, all I need is like two more of these and I can like build this. So it's like right away, like I kind of felt like that excitement already. So it's like, It's been cool.
Good. You have the excitement. So, then just make sure you're ready to have the frustration as well, along with that. Look at that too.
Yeah, because I did one of the hub quests, and I think you fight one of those like macaws, like the bigger ones.
Oh, hub quests are always a balance for four people.
Okay.
So that would explain why that one was a little harder for
you. I tried like four or five times. Like, I kept dying.
Yeah, the hub quest, if you're not prepared for it, you have to play that with multiplayer if you're not good enough to solo it.
Yeah, because I did the training quest, and I know you fight one of those for like, you know, you learned a weapon or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, I killed this thing pretty quick in the training quest. So maybe it's the same. Yo, oh my gosh. I can't.
Wait, how'd you get to the gathering hub?
He got lost.
I don't know.
Right, because you have to specifically go there.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, you're able to go to the gathering hub, and then there's another counter for the quest.
Yeah, so you purposely went and did that, but it...
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, Monster Hunter
is... I'll keep playing this game and I'll figure it out as I go. And I was like, oh, like, I can kill this big monster. Like,
you should have stayed in town.
Yeah, that's when I realized.
Solo was like, Village Quest.
Yeah, okay. I had no idea about that. So I was so confused. Like, yo, this guy is like rocking me.
Don't worry, I've had the game for like 2 years and I'm still confused. So it's perfectly.
Oh man.
But we're gonna have some good times with that. We're gonna have some good times with Monster Hunter and Jesse together. Now that we got a 4-man squad, we can die together.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, actually, we're gonna make this episode a 4 segment. So, you know, we're gonna expand it, guys. We're gonna do 4 segments. So we're going to come back and catch everybody up on the news of the game.
DOT will be right back.
All right, we're back on the Dominant Truth podcast. Isaiah's happy about his Switch, man. You know, I think so now. So Vic always has his game each week. This week it's Gundam. Ken is sometimes playing the game or sharing his screen on his PC, and now Isaiah's going to be on his Switch. So I'll have to chime in, everybody, like when it's their turn. I'm going to have to have a notification alert sound when what is a segment for you guys.
I was like, oh, I'm on?
Oh, man. But there was some news this week, so let's get into it. So Microsoft announced the Xbox Series X is coming in November, which I think most of us probably knew, and that was they said holiday 2020, but November is usually the month of new consoles when it's their time to come out. You know, and they also, along with that announcement, announced that Halo Infinite is going to be delayed till 2021, which is probably not going to be as big of a deal. I think Halo is always their big launch title, but I think people are going to be happy when it comes out. It's still going to be a big money seller for them. But that the question is now, what games are Halo and Microsoft going to bank on when the Xbox comes out? They say they're going to have thousands of games available when the system launches. They're going to have a lot of the previous games from the previous consoles available to be played. And then you got to think about the games that are coming out now, like, for example, Madden and NBA 2K, just for example, that are going to be free downloads for the new generation if you have them on the current gen. So Microsoft and Xbox is going to have games that you can play. They're just not going to have their big name coming out with it, which is Halo. But that should be coming out sometime in 2021. But that begs the question. So where's Sony? Where's Sony at with their release? So do you guys think it's going to come out in November as well? Do you think PS5, Sony's going to announce the PlayStation 5 coming out as well in November?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Most likely.
Most likely. Like, they'll probably come out around the same time.
Now, everyone's playing a PR game of waiting. Everyone's delaying their announcements.
Yeah. Very. And that just goes on what's going on. Everything's being delayed. You know, a lot of things have been coming out. For example, iPhones, they used to come out in September. They're coming out in October this year. A lot of things are just being pushed back. But Sony and Microsoft, they're looking at each other. They're looking at seeing what are they doing, and then we're going to come out with them. Price will probably be the last thing that comes out with these systems. So, but we'll see. We'll keep our eyes peeled. What's going on with Microsoft, and when that comes out. Also in the news, and you guys saw this Fortnite story.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's what's blowing up.
That was crazy.
That happened like recently. I think either yesterday or today, where Fortnite was taken off first off the Apple Store, and then shortly after it was taken down from the Google Store. And Epic Games, you know, they've made a lot of money from Fortnite, but so has Apple. Apple has made a lot of money from Fortnite as well too, and Google. And you know, it's, you know, Epic has this new season where now they want the money to come straight to them. They want to cut out pretty much the middleman, cut out Apple.
Yeah, but they're in the wrong.
Exactly. You know, because what that opens the door from is for different, you know, privacies and different software that, you know, Apple doesn't have. Because Apple is one of those companies that they want to know everything that is on their app store. They want to have control.
Yeah.
Everything. You know, Google's kind of open, but even Google said, nah, that you can't do that either. We're not going to allow you to do that. So Epic has this lawsuit out, a big lawsuit out against Apple and mainly against Apple right now.
They know they're not in the right. They know they're in the wrong. That's why they've been appealing to the fans.
Yeah,
this is why it's so public, because they know if it's just going to be a silent behind doors kind of litigation, it's not going to go in their favor. So they're trying to get public pressure on their side, because they know they totally broke the terms and conditions. They're at fault here. They are not in the right.
They are, and you made a good point that they're catering to the fans, and they want the fans to revolt. And but the thing is, the fans are mostly kids. They're mostly, like, you know, people younger than us that they're going to. But it's crazy, because they might have a case on their hands. They might have an actual team, because most of these kids that are playing Fortnite are probably playing on devices. They might be playing on consoles as well too. But you got to think, kids these days, a lot of their gaming comes from handhelds. You know, it's almost like they almost don't need to have a PlayStation or an Xbox or even a computer for that. They play mostly on their iPhones, on their Android phones. So, you know, to not be able to play this game, that those are the people they're catering to, because, you know, if you have a Switch, Fortnite is literally on everything. You can play Fortnite. Yeah.
The thing is, it's not, you can still download it on your phones. You can get it through the Samsung store, for example.
Right. And that was the big thing with Samsung. When their new Galaxies came off, Fortnite was only available on Samsung. Like, it didn't come out on the Google Play store. It was through their Samsung store. And if you have Fortnite on your phones now, you can play it still. You just can't update to the new seasons when it comes out. Or if you want to get started now, you can't download it because it's completely gone. I want to play you all this clip that from this comes from ABC News, from what they're saying, what really the real reason behind all this is.
Money and who gets to make it. Epic implementing a new in-app pay system. Apple has reportedly made more than $1 billion from Fortnite alone, but the game's latest update now cutting Apple out.
The big companies like Apple and Google have a ridiculous amount of power, and the only way to fight back to them is to do something incredibly splashy, incredibly loud, and to maybe have billions of dollars behind your company to do it.
After Apple pulled the game from its App Store, Epic retaliating, filing an antitrust lawsuit against Apple, calling the App Store a monopoly, flexing its enormous power. And
so it's funny that that Epic is trying to make Apple out to be some type of enemy, like they're the ones doing the wrong thing here, when we clearly know that Epic is really reaching for what they're trying to really do here.
Well, you see, the thing is, it's what was pulled from. It was from Google Play, and it was also from the Apple's App Store. That is not that is a closed system, because it's like a platform like Steam. That's like they're saying Steam has a monopoly over their games because they own their store.
Right.
So if it was going to be like a true antitrust thing, it would be as if Apple was able to force all platforms to obey their rules. They actually don't have that oversight.
They don't.
So Epic is totally in the wrong here. Because they're trying to say they're saying that Apple has a monopoly over their own store. that's insane. That's like saying Walmart has a monopoly over Kool-Aid.
Exactly. And the funny thing about that is that, you know, Apple and Google have complete control of what they put on their store. And if they don't want Fortnite to be up there because they broke the rules, they broke their policies, then they're going to take it down. They don't care how big it is, even though they've made money from it.
Exactly. And it's actually for the creation of those stores are actually for our protection, because if they start allowing other apps to suddenly take direct pay, you know, this opens up a gray area that, you know, someone can make a cheap application, for example, you know, like a really, really stupid game, but then they can use that for money laundering.
They could.
Now you're paying directly through it, and it looks like you're just paying for some sort of stupid little game like, oh, hello, little duckies. But why am I paying $300 for a virtual duck? Mm-hmm. But then in reality, you're paying for like a brick of cocaine.
Yeah. The GTA 5.
I love that GTA. Oh,
what are you becoming?
Oh, I love it. I love it. But that's true. It is. It's really for our protection, man. You know.
Yeah, it's a really gray area here. Because, I mean, obviously, yes, they're bypassing it, and it is against their terms and conditions. But at the same time, you know, they use that money to, one, you know, it stabilizes their store. They're paying people to monitor it. They're paying people to hold, because you download things off of them. They host the files and everything, and then the uploads and everything, updates, they're hosting it all. Yeah, that costs money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that people keep forgetting about Steam versus the Epic Game Store. The reason why the Epic Game Store is so bare bones is because They're not putting the money into their store, the digital storefront. Whereas Steam itself, they use that cut, you know, for one, for their own profits, and two, they maintain the storefront and, you know, they're hosting the files because, you know, hosting data is expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you were to leave that to a developer to host their very own server just for, you know, uploading and downloading their game, it would cost them way more money than it would to make sales off of. Because, you know, that doesn't wait for per sale. You have to pay constantly to keep that up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's part of some of the money that Apple and Google probably get, you know, between the downloads and the extra DLC they have. They're hosting the game. So
yeah,
it's gonna be fun to see how what comes out of this, because I don't see the game being off their store so long. And
the funny thing is, this isn't not exclusive to just Google and Apple. This is how it works for all the platforms that it's on, the consoles. Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, they all get a cut of it too.
Right.
This is industry standard.
So, which is a big reason that, and Apple has, and the reason why I think this is big for Apple too, why they're going against Apple, because Apple is already, you know, against the whole cloud gaming as well too. So, like the Stadia.
For the same reason though.
Exactly. Yeah, they don't.
Because they're not getting paid through.
Right,
because we're buying our xCloud stuff, you know, directly from Microsoft and Google.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, money talks, man. And like I said in a former podcast, what does Rush Hour 2 teach us about money? Follow the rich white man. Oh, man. Well, when we come back, we're going to wrap up. And guys, I think she's coming back. Olivia Munn might be coming back.
You are greedy. More of the Diamond of Truth podcast.
All right, we're back on the Diamond of Truth podcast. You know, before years ago, and I think we talked about this either on a podcast or off air, but we talked about how big G4 was back in the day. And G4 was a big station that, you know, gamers really loved. There were some iconic shows on there, some things that you just didn't see back in the 2000s, like the early to mid 2000s. And then recently talks were coming up, I think during Comic-Con, about G4 coming back, possibility. And now, latest this week, is that IGN's reporting that Olivia Munn is in talks to rejoin G4 as a host. And she's in talks of signing a multi-year deal with G4. Probably one of the better hosts G4. And she was on Attack the Show, right?
Yes, with Kevin Pereira.
Yeah, they were a good. They were a good duo. They, you know, they work well together. So you hope if they bring that back and they bring her back, they would bring him back too.
I feel like it'd be like Regis and Kelly, you know, without Regis.
Yeah, exactly. Rest in peace. But yeah, that would be cool to see her come back. And just to see G4 come back completely, it would be a cool new demographic could show, and they could use a lot of things, social media and mobile, different things they could do for gaming. Because you see how gaming has taken off. Like, gaming has, when during this whole pandemic, you know, gaming was in the front center. They had, I mean, ESPN was airing NBA 2K competitions.
Oh yeah,
Madden competitions. You know, they were going. You know, at once when they thought that these games were silly and nonsense, they're using them as content now. So
yeah, it was funny though, because one of them was when they were doing pro racing, one of the pro racers, he hired someone to play for him, and he just pretended on stream that he was playing. So that was controversial. It's like, he obviously didn't take gaming seriously, but I mean, they were having a legit tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
They're and he that. Cheated.
He cheating.
Cheating.
You big
fool. How are you going to cheat?
Oh, man. Well, so it would be cool to see G4 come back in some type of way. But this week is always a special week at the DOT headquarters. And I always know when it's that week, because Vic always brings it up. I always forget. Shark Week Vic is year after year. Vic always tells him when Shark Week, and I'm like, oh man, I think to myself, I'm like, yo, I'm gonna watch something on Shark Week this week, but I always forget. Like, I don't know why, but Shark Week brings out like Sharknado in past years and stuff, and I've heard stories about that movies. But Vic, you saw a highlight that you really liked in Shark Week this week. So what did you see in Shark Week?
Well, this year, it was very, 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 celebrity heavy. Every night had a celebrity doing their own little special. But Will Smith had a special doing his, Get Over His Fear things. And it was fantastic the way it was presented and told. 'Cause usually when they do these, celebrity specials, like Shaq, for example, they do very, very corny little skits. It's like almost cringeworthy. So it feels like, why am I watching this? This is stupid. Why don't you get back to the real scientist? But then, oh man, Will Smith, he did it right. They had a good beat to it. You know, it was like R&B. It was very chill. It was almost like, come to the campfire, kids. I got to tell you a story. And he's like, he was listening to a man who had a journey to tell. And it was done in retrospective because he already did it all. It wasn't as he was doing it. So you got to hear it, and he's leading you through his journey just like step by step. And then as he's telling you that journey, you're seeing it come up right after he tells you what was going on. And it's so cool because wow. It's very relaxed and chill. It doesn't feel fake at all. It feels like a genuine experience coming from him.
Nice, man. Yeah, Will Smith is a great storyteller, a great actor, and to see him take something like Shark Week seriously and do something as good as that, it doesn't surprise me. But it's cool to see that, because you know Will Smith, I think in our generation, Will Smith was one of the greats, one of the big ones, and so that's cool. So they had Shaq, they had Will Smith. Any other celebrities?
Adam Devine and his workaholic friends. Snoop Dogg did a voiceover for one episode.
Oh man, okay. Oh, yeah, I
did see that.
And then they also had some YouTubers. The Dude Perfect, and who was it, Kenny? Mark Rober?
I forgot. I didn't see that one.
The NASA guy.
Wow. Snoop Dogg as I need to see that. I just need to see Snoop Dogg voice a shark. I can just imagine.
And then Mike Tyson was the first night.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was funny too. He was like, man, I don't like
yeah, Mike Tyson's funny.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen his show. It is hilarious.
Mike Tyson's hilarious. He's mad at his fight. He's supposed to be coming back to boxing, but his fight got postponed a month or so. That is a funny dude. That's cool. So Shark Week. So so we're recording this on a Saturday. So is it end today or is it end tomorrow?
I think
tomorrow's reruns.
Yeah, they usually use the last night as reruns.
All right, I'm gonna try to catch those.
if you don't catch anything, at least catch the Will Smith one.
Okay, so that's
all right.
Conquering his fears. Okay, definitely. Yep. Yeah. All right. Well. So Kenny is our war zone guy. So no update today from Kenny, but and you recently said that now you got the whole family pretty much involved playing Warzone together. So I can't wait to get an update from that. Hopefully next week we can get a family update of Warzone. But with that, did you hear, Kenny, the news about the next update and how many gigs the next update is?
No, I have not actually.
Okay, well, the next update is supposed to, you know, just fix some bugs and stuff on it. Mm-hmm. The next update. Thank you, Google. You're not allowed in this podcast. You know. So it's on Xbox. The next update is supposed to be 66 gigs.
Good Lord, man. 66. I don't know. How is this game so huge?
I don't get it. But it's funny but on PS4 and PC, the update is less than 2 gigs. But why would the Xbox One update be 66 gigs?
Why is it 66? I'm going to have to look into that. Jeez.
Dang.
I know they should be having an update come out soon, because there's a game-breaking glitch going on right now. It happened to me twice. Since they had a little mini update that went on this morning that I didn't even see it happen because I turned the computer on, starts updating. But the glitch, like, distorts your weapon. You can't see anything on the screen. And at the time, I was playing with Jaden and my dad, and I was like, Jaden, tell me where I'm aiming. He was like, you're aiming at the floor. I was like, oh. Yeah, I didn't make it out of that gulag, so, you know.
Well, apparently Infinity Ward tweeted out saying that it's due to an issue of a patch delivery process and the update requires a larger download for Xbox One players, but does not impact the overall install size. So, you all should be good, but the only 2 gigs. So, so next week, let's get a brother's son update for Warzone.
All right. I gotcha.
All right. Well, Isaiah, so for Monster Hunter, man, what you've been playing what's your weapon of choice?
I'm using the hunting horn, actually.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
The only guy using the hunting horn.
Man, this is Curtis. Actually
Oh, go ahead.
It calls back to our old days on PSO and all our other games. You always played our support, dude.
Yeah. That is true.
Oh, yeah, I just kind of gravitated towards that. Like, oh, you know, like.
And I thank you
for
it.
It's a cool looking weapon. And then, like, the, you know, the different combinations you do. And then at the same time, you're, like, helping your group out. Like, I kind of like that. So I did try some other weapons. And I tried using the insect glaive.
What
I was like, yo, this one was confusing. Like, I had no idea what was going on.
I think that was actually one of the hardest ones to learn.
Because it does a lot of resource management.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have to combine your essences.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I don't even know what that is. Yeah,
so if you don't maintain red and white, you don't have access to your full combos that your weapon normally has.
Man, then
the red parts, yeah, it's a complicated. But I mean, if you master that weapon, it is a good weapon.
That's actually the reason why we won Behemoth.
That's true. Being able to mount them.
I just kept mounting them, and you know, I didn't get no damage for it.
Yeah,
why can't we beat a Latreon?
Hey man, I'm not the one using the insect glaive.
My twin blade. I'm telling you, if we're all shooting at it, we will win.
I don't have the.
Problem. I don't know why you guys are meleeing it.
I don't have the gear.
Thanks for listening to the Diamond of Truth podcast.
Talk right there.
All right, Kenny. What's going on?
I don't know. I don't want to be cheek to cheek.